Greet you in the name of Jesus this morning. We have been inspired, I believe, again from the Word of God. As we've looked at the faithfulness of those examples that were written for our admonition. I heard a story from one of the speakers at WFTI that inspired this message today. And if you can picture with me a Kansas wheat field where there are acres and acres of wheat land, and I've been going through the Palouse lately, and there's acres and acres of ripe wheat. But in the edge of this Kansas wheat field, there's a farmhouse, and in the farmhouse, there's a mother that is sitting on a chair with her hands in, with her head in her hands, and she's sobbing. Because her little son is lost in the wheat field. She and her husband have spent 3 days searching for their son. Finally, in desperation, he calls for the surrounding community to come together. And they start at the house and they join hand in hand and they start combing the wheat field. And then you can picture the father as he kneels over the lifeless form of his son. And he asks the question, why haven't we joined hands sooner? You know, today there's spiritual battles that are going on. The enemy is very real. And I believe there are fathers and mothers today who are crying out in anguish over their spiritual lifeless son or daughter. Why had we not joined hands sooner? There are churches that have not found the lost because they have not joined hands in helping each other to spread the gospel and live out the gospel. The question for you and I this morning is, are we joining hands and are we accomplishing the work that God wants us to accomplish? I have been thinking a lot about outreach, and I think you have too last while. And this, what I have to share this morning, is not only pertinent to outreach, but it is to all of church life. Kingdom building teamwork. And it isn't this morning that I share this so much that I feel like we haven't been doing that. It's more that I appreciate what we have been doing and I want to encourage us onward. That's what I want to do. This is not only for schools, and it does apply to schools. We must join hands in schools with fathers and mothers and the school board, and we must do it in church, the church leaders and parents and young people. And so it's from that perspective that I'd like to for us to consider that we continue on in kingdom-building teamwork. God has not called me to be on this earth and accomplish His will by myself. He has instituted the Church of Jesus Christ, and a blessing that is for us to be a part of. Teaming up with other godly people to accomplish His work. Because part of the work is purification of my own soul and my own character. And I appreciate the teamwork I feel, and especially this outreach. I feel like we all feel like we own it. And I appreciate that. And there's an aspect that you are being counted on to make it work. I can't do it by myself, and you can't do it by yourself. We all need to work together. I'd like to remind us of a few Bible phrases of team effort. There are things such as unity of the faith, fellow helpers to the truth, laborers together with God, striving together for the faith of the gospel. And Paul said that he had fellow laborers. The idea of teamwork in the scriptures is very interwoven. It's in there. What is teamwork? You know, for you younger children, I think you can understand helping someone carry a school desk. That's teamwork. How well you carry your end of the desk is how well it can go sometimes. It's a number of people organized to function cooperatively as a group. But if you imagine with me this morning that line of people that have joined hands in the wheat field, that there were maybe some neighbor farmers that, as they were walking through the, I picture it, maybe it's because of the time of the year, but ripe wheat. And they are looking at maybe how well this will yield. And maybe they let go of their hand and they rub some grain together and they're calculating in their mind the acres and the yield and the price and the income. And they get sidetracked. And there's a gap in that field that wasn't covered like it should have been covered. In any teamwork effort, there are, Satan will present very many distractions. There's also the aspect picture of teamwork that I saw when I was doing concrete. Mike at North Country one time showed me how they pump concrete in Africa, and it was very interesting. They can picture a construction site in Africa. They were up on the second or third story with bamboo scaffolding all around. And there was a sand pile and a rock pile and cement bags at the bottom with a mixer and an assembly line of men all the way to the top. And the concrete was being mixed and passed from one to the other. They were actually throwing the buckets of concrete one to the other, and it'd make a circle and get dumped out and come back down again, get filled up and do the same thing. And everybody's job was very important, and they did it. It worked like clockwork. The picture of teamwork. But what if one of those men on the scaffold saw a new bike that was riding by? And he stopped to look at it, and he thought, well, it'd be very nice to have a bike like that. How easy can we become sidetracked in the teamwork of invite you to turn with me to 1 Corinthians 1. I'd like to read some verses here. And I want to pull some things out of these verses, and I plan to use the whiteboard this morning and try to illustrate some qualities of teamwork in the church. And these are true of a lot of organizations, but I'm thinking especially about church and brotherhood and the efforts of building God's building. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 10 through verse 13. The Apostle Paul had something to say to the Corinthians, and this is what he said. Verse 10 of chapter 1, "Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. For it hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. Now this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, and I am of Apollos, and I am of Cephas, and I of Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you, or were ye baptized in the name of Paul?" And then going over to chapter 3, verse 1. "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. For ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man? I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building. According to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire." We'll stop reading there. But I have four things that I would like to consider this morning regarding kingdom teamwork in carrying out God's work. And I'm going to, the first one is togetherness. And I'm going to use the acronym TEAM for those 4 points. But the idea of togetherness is it brotherhood or is it individualism? While the Corinthians were dividing and saying who they were following, Paul brings them back to the foundation that this is a brotherhood. Christ laid the foundation for unity, and it's on him where we are one. It says that even though he planted and Apollos watered, it's God that gave the increase, the unity in Christ, the brotherhood for that reason. They were a team that were pointing them to Jesus Christ. There's a quote that says that if you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go together. Brotherhood, that is important in carrying out God's work. It's the way God has designed his work to be done. It's by the preaching of the cross is how God has designed the gospel to be spread. If I would rather do it by myself or do this by myself, then we will not contribute to team efforts. Number two, I have for E. Expectations. What are the expectations of this team effort? What is expected? What are the guidelines and what is the vision? Verse 10, there were expectations for building. He says, but let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. There were guidelines to meet. There were conditions for building. Paul said that the foundation was already laid. You can't go start working on the foundation because Paul said that he already laid that. And he also said that what you build will be tested by fire. That's another condition. Will it last or will it not last? He also said that rewards are according to how the fire reveals our work. Is it material that can stand the fire or will it be burned up? There were guidelines and conditions given to instruct proper building, and there were warnings and rewards for proper quality of building. And in any team effort, there must be guidelines and accountability, or there will be confusion. There must be brotherhood, and there are guidelines and accountability, or there will be confusion. Confusion often ends in discouragement, and then we are soon pulling out because we've lost the vision. Notice that he says here that, if I can find it, it says that every man's work shall be made manifest. There's an individual accountability of how we contribute to the team effort. There was a reason for teaming together. There was a vision Paul was trying to impart to them, and that was working together in God's building. And maybe for us as a congregation, we have the vision of planting another church in another location. A Bible-believing, faithful church for the building of God's kingdom. It's to enhance God's kingdom, not ourselves. And we'll maybe look at more of that later. Proverbs 29, verse 18 says, where there is no vision, the people perish, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he. The importance of having a vision and wanting to carry that out. I have a quote written in the front of my Bible that says, God and Satan both understand. If you capture a man's vision, you have captured the man. That's true of a church. It's true of any kind of a individual or team. And it's pertinent to all of life, not just thinking about outreach. Does your vision of your finances take you closer to God and His people? Does your vision of your life and what you want to accomplish in life, does it promote you? Or does it promote God and His kingdom in the church? Number three, for A, I have attitude. What kind of an attitude will it take to be a builder in a team effort? I'm talking here a few things such as humility, selfish attitudes, and trust. Some of the things I want to cover here, but humility. Verse 6, Paul said that God gave the increase. And in verse 7, Paul said, so then neither is he that planteth anything, nor that he that watereth anything. But you can see the humility Paul had in the work that he was assigned to do was that it's really nothing. And recently we replanted some of our lawn and we smoothed it out and we prepared the soil and we spread the seed and we put straw over it. And we've been pretty faithful at watering it. But we can do all of that. I mean, we can do it perfect. We can do it exactly right. But no matter how hard I want to, I cannot make that grass come up. There's no way that I can do that. It's God that has planted the life in the seed and makes it grow. So is neither is he that planteth anything, nor he that watereth, but it's God that giveth increase. And when we are faithful in church life, in doing our responsibilities, or living faithful, godly lives, it's really not us. It's because of God's life in us. And it's him that gets the glory. It's properly understanding what my efforts are without God's increase. Humility is very important in team effort. And if I feel that my way is the only right way or it's the best way, then we have conflict in team effort. If I cannot be challenged, then what is the use of having others on a team? I believe it was one of the presidents, or it was a prominent leader anyway, that had, I believe he had 21 advisors to him. And when he was asked why he had so many, he said, well, if I could solve all the problems myself, I would. Life simply was not intended to live without others' input. And God designed the church for our good and his glory, where we help each other in life. There's another quote that goes like this. When a man helped his friend up the mountain, lo, he scaled it himself. When we help each other in the brotherhood and we're pulling together with Christ, we're co-laborers together. How many times have you experienced that when somebody shared a struggle with you or you helped somebody else that you've felt like you've learned more than what you've given help to someone else? I've often felt that way. That I was challenged more than I actually helped. The thought of humility in team effort. We think of pride, of course, this is the opposite of humility. Pride does stop progress. It hinders God's building. Pride causes contention. Proverbs says that only by pride cometh contention. And this is common in joint efforts, in team efforts, where you have different people. And I'll say it here unless I forget, but there are in brotherhoods, in team efforts, in any kind of a close working together, whether it's a committee, a board, ministry, that we sometimes see another's human side. And that's where humility and trust come into the picture. That we can help each other through those things. If we think about trust, the attitude of trust. To allow somebody to do something, having confidence that the person will behave responsibly or properly. It's very evident that Paul trusted Apollos. He said, we are one. His efforts were my efforts. We did this together. He was trusting him. It says that in verse 8, that he and Apollos are one. Paul trusted that Apollos was good and well-meaning, even though there were probably times when he didn't totally understand why he said what he did or why he did what he did. He was willing to give that trust to him that he was well-meaning in this. He didn't slam his character. He was able to continue trusting him. Mutual trust is the basis for a team to work together. It's the basis for a brotherhood and a church to work together. Along with trust comes a responsibility of my actions on how I am accountable to others. Do I do things that make them distrust me? Trust gives the other person the benefit of the doubt. And there's plenty of opportunities for the seed of distrust to sprout in close relationships. Do we start to suspicion? Do we distance ourselves a bit to just wait and see? Communication is another thing that's very important in team efforts. Our attitudes, beyond even selfishness or pride or humility, they will determine how we use the talents and responsibilities God has given us. And Brother Tim in the devotion talked about the talents there that are given to us. What are we doing with those? 1 Peter 4:10 says that as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. And this gift, the idea is here is any gift that God gives should be used to minister one to another. This, practically speaking, is any responsibility or it's any opportunity that we have to minister one to another. Do it as good stewards of the manifold grace of God, because how many of us have received blessings from others, and it benefits the team effort. We are in this together, and it's about helping us onward. Simon Schrock's book, Your Strength Can Become Your Weakness, says this: when you take your strength and become independent, it becomes a weakness. Your strength can often be best utilized in the team. Discerners need to team up with mercy, and mercy needs the insight of the discerner. When you go on your own, it will tend to cut off others, insult them, and drive them away. Then in years to come, you may be a lonely loner trying to put on a satisfied front. Our strengths are given to assist each other and not to make us independent individuals. As Peter wrote there, as the manifold grace of God, employ it in serving others. The fourth one would be, for M, would be motivation. I hope I spelled them right. I wasn't a good speller in school. What am I motivated by? Or am I motivated? I believe we are motivated by something. Even the people that seem to have very little motivation are actually motivated by selfishness. Are there areas of apathy in my life, especially when it comes to spiritual responsibilities? My part in church life, my part in family life, my relationship with God. What's your motivation in those things? I had to think about that in my own life. Do I care deeply about the things of God? Do I care deeply if the church goes right? Spiritual apathy is a detriment to team effort. When we simply do not care enough to endure hardships in God's work, we are not going to be an asset to team efforts. Well, there's a lot more that could be said on motivation, but what is your passion and what is driving you? We need to continue on, but the conclusion, I'd like to finish this. We have a team that is pulling, and here's the work to do. And we think of togetherness, brotherhood, or individualism. When we understand the importance of brotherhood and understand we are in this together, we think of expectations, the guidelines, or doing it my way, the vision or blindness, apathy or vision. We know what is expected and are meeting those expectations, and are we accountable? We think of attitudes. Are we giving or are we selfish? Are we trusting or are we suspicious? Do we have the proper attitudes? We think of motivation. Do we have apathy in our life or divine inspiration? Or do we have are we properly motivated and have the proper godly motives? If we have those things properly, then God can do great things for us. And if you think of this in a proper balance, it creates a great teamwork effort. But if you would imagine if motivation doesn't like brotherhood very well, and he starts pulling ahead, if he starts pulling ahead, the whole thing will end up in the left ditch. And if we have brotherhood and guidelines that are pulling ahead without spiritual fervor and spirituality, we can end up in the other ditch. So together they're all important. It takes a balanced view, and they're all important. And let's not forget the purpose of the high calling of this team effort, working in God's building. It's furthering the kingdom of God and carrying on in faithfulness. You know, we as those that joined hands in the wheat field, we have the lost to find. There are children as such that are lost in wheat fields where we need to join hands together and we need to search. Or maybe it's, I'm trying to search by myself until the situation is hopeless, and then do I call on others for help? Or in my search, in my commitment to the search, am I stopping along the way and am I calculating my earthly investments and my earthly interest? What is that costing the team effort in building God's kingdom? Am I, as I gave that example of the concrete, passing the buckets of concrete, am I longing and after the bicycle or the something that somebody has and I lose beat in the team? Is it serious? Sometimes these things seem like small things. And sometimes they're very difficult to get a hold of because sometimes they are simply sins of the Spirit. The actions may be all right, but the spirit is wrong, and the attitude is wrong. We are affecting the building of God, the church in her glory and pureness. Here in chapter 3, verse 13 through verse 15, it says that every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. I see in here a personal accountability that I have before Almighty God and how I contribute to the team effort in building the church and the kingdom of God. Will what I do endure the test of fire? Is it long-lasting material, or is it perishable material? Will I receive a reward, or will I suffer loss? I'd like to read yet in Ephesians chapter 4. I think it just puts a beautiful picture in the teamwork of the church. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Basically, it's the goal to not get lost in the wheat field, but we are helpers to find the lost. Verse 15, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted, notice this, by that which every joint supplieth. We all have a part. According to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. And we'll stop reading there. But we could say a lot more, but I think this paints a beautiful picture of the teamwork of the kingdom of God. And are we committed to it? Are we going to carry on with it, even though the tests come? And could it be possibly that the greatest test of teamwork and building the kingdom of God lies within myself? Let's kneel together for prayer.